talk about radio past, present and future for the next few minutes. For, I presume, all three of us, radio has been a huge part of our lives. Mm. For me, it's where my journalistic career started 45 years ago, doing hospital radio in Peterborough in the UK. We did a sports show and live broadcasts from the Peterborough United football matches, which were some of the happiest days of my childhood. From there, I went into print journalism, but also radio was always running through it, doing commercial reports, sports events. And then when we came here to Australia 25 years ago, started doing bits for the ABC. So a fair few years were spent at 5:45 a.m. every Thursday morning, talking to Spencer Howson about what was on in the Quest community newspapers of those days. So while print's dominated, radio has always been a part of what I've done, and I've always loved it. We can't underestimate the significance and the importance of radio throughout the years. It's always been there. Through wartime, through isolation in Australia, we've got the School of the Air, of course, which relies on radio. Radio serials, sound effects, and of course, who can possibly go past the cricket commentaries? Big part of our summers. So that's me, Rob. Radio, your first love?
Yes, well, I left school back in the 60s, and of course, well, actually, my first job was in radio. I went to a radio station, 7HO in Hobart, which was one of the top radio stations in its day, and I started off as what they called a panel operator. What were the duties of a panel operator? Well, you sat in a control room, the announcer was in the other studio with a glass panel dividing us, and I used to play the serials, the big 18-inch serials, the Caltex Theatre, every Sunday night at 8 o'clock, thousands and thousands of people were listening to their radio at home. And of course, that was just one of the duties. We used to play all the 45 singles for the disc jockeys. They didn't play those in those days in the studio. We used to have to play them. And of course, we played all those great Frank Sinatra 12-inch LPs, 33-inch speed, whatever they were. And it was a different time. I can remember we used to take a line from 3AW in Melbourne for the races. And in those days, I had to ring up the PMG, they were called, and ask them, could I have a telephone line to get the broadcast. How things have changed in those years. And many a time we'd miss the races. We'd maybe get half of them when it was nearly over. Yeah, technology wasn't quite as stable back in those days.
But great listening. Absolutely great listening. Mm. Shane, you got your finger on so many pulses here at 101.5, haven't you?
So many. And radio is pretty much the catalyst where it all started from. Back when I was around 20 years of age, a version of radio, if you will. Maybe not an official station, but one that you sort of run yourself, which is a bit out of the ordinary, but it was a start. Then did radio school and then got into a commercial radio station, then started working from there. The early days, you know, it was reel-to-reel tapes, but cart machines. Mm. And vinyl records, of course, spinning records like yourself. I did the same thing. But over the years, then we migrated to MP3s. Mm. Of course, we could record our voices through digital means as well. Wasn't the old-fashioned where you did it on a great big tape and have to splice it and cut it and do all sorts of things to edit it. You could just go to a machine and just chop out the bits you didn't want, which is a bit like how we do it today, which is how I'll be doing this very interview, is recording it now on a screen with large lines all over the place. You'll see some. And after all that, well, it'll be on the air. And that's the interesting thing. It's been moving forward all the time, the whole time. And that continues today. Who knows what we'll be doing next year or year after.
Well, you talked about technology. Sitting here, we've got a panel, as we still call it.
Yeah.
No bigger than, probably a bit bigger than a sheet of A4 paper.
Mm.
And yet, I'm sure we can all remember when the panel virtually stretched around the whole desk.
Well, yes. They were much larger. There's only about 5 channels on this. Some of the original panels that I worked on would have been probably the same with Rob.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'd be 12 channels, easy. Oh, yeah. Well, those were outside lines, outside broadcast. You'd fade them up and hit a button and they'd start. This one here, kind of the same thing, but it's just smaller and we don't need all those other things. We can pre-tape those, or we can take another line from another studio, bring that in and put it on. Away you go.
Or with the turntables next to you in the old days.
Oh, yeah.
Used to line up the records. And as you said, splicing tape. People can't imagine. Probably a razor blade splicing a piece of tape, sticking it back together again.
And always on an angle of 45 degrees.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
You couldn't just go straight up and down. That wouldn't do. You had to do the 45-degree angle business.
So is this easier, Rob? You've seen so many changes. Easier these days, technology-wise, or more difficult?
I find it easy now from the old days. When I first came back into radio, community radio in Hobart. Took a while to adjust to computers, you know, coming from vinyl records and three turntables in front of me, 18-inch turntables, and took a little while to adjust to, you know, how to get your songs and commercials or whatever off the computer. It's all changed.
Do you hanker for the old days?
I love the old days because you were in charge of presentation that was going to air to hundreds and hundreds of people right across Tasmania. We used to syndicate actually up to the north of Tasmania. We were part of the Macquarie Network. You know, on a Sunday night, I'd be there with this great 18-inch disc called the Caltex Theatre, and I had to make sure that I presented that pretty well, or else I would be in big trouble.
Now you've got a love of cinema as well. That's changed hasn't it?
Yeah, the cinema. I've always had a flavour of the movies. A friend of mine I went to school with, he became a chief projectionist at a little local cinema in Hobart. It's called the Avalon, actually. And I was working in radio still, and he gave me a phone call and he said, Rob, are you a bit sick of radio and would you like to do something different? And I thought, oh yeah, that's okay. Because in the 60s you could get a job anyway and you didn't have to have a university degree. As long as you had a nice suit on and a tie, your haircut was okay and spoke properly, they'd give you a job. It was unbelievable. I mean, now it's different. It's different. You've got to be pretty well educated to get a job. So he told me to come down to the theatre and have a chat to the manager, and I bowls in and, hi, I'm Rob. I'm a friend of Wayne's. He's the boss here running the movies. He said to me that, would I like to work with him? And the boss said, when do you want to start? He didn't interview anyone else or anything. And, oh, okay. I became what they called assistant projectionist. And in the early 60s, 64, 35mm was the big thing on the screen, CinemaScope. But then 70mm film came along, and that was double the size of 35, and that gave you a much better image on the screen. And it was a flat process. You didn't need anamorphic lens to open the image up on the film, because on 35mm scope, it was all squashed up, and you had to have a special lens to open it up. So that was interesting and I was a projectionist for a long, long time. And then I retired from the industry, and I became a cinema pioneer. But they gave me a card that would get me to the movies in Australia the rest of my life free, any cinema.
Good old days.
Yeah, good old days there.
I can't talk about anything as exciting as that. I went from journalism, typing one sentence on one bit of paper and then putting another bit of paper into a typewriter and typing that, to what we have now, which is much like, you know, Shane's operating. The panel here is all done through a mouse, all done computer, cut, paste. It's so much quicker. But, of course, journalism has changed because there are so many community journalists. I put those in inverted commas. You know, you've got the social media pages where anyone can become a reporter. Yeah. And, you know, we can love it or loathe it, but it's taken off.
Yeah. And just quickly, when I was working for the radio station, they got the license for the first television station for Tasmania. The company was called TVT6. And because we were part of the one company, they moved the old studios to a brand new studios with radio and television in the same building. And to save money, because they were just starting off and they had to get a lot of commercials, you know, to pay for their license or whatever, the boss used to say to me, Rob, they need you in TV. You're not rostered on for radio today. You're going next door. My boss wasn't very happy about that because there was a bit of friction between radio and TV. It was funny. But we were the same company. That was interesting because back in those days, everything that was shown on TV in glorious black and white was 16mm film from America. And I'm sure you remember some of the big shows that came out from Warner Brothers, Maverick, Sunset Strip, and all those big American shows. And they were on little 16mm film. And I used to go up the control room, and they trained us, and there was two Philips 16mm projectors there. We had to lace them up. I sat at a desk with two monitors. The director was up there. The projector was in a big glass cabinet. Both of them were aiming that way. And in the little glass cabinet was a camera. And what happened was the image would be projected onto this little mirror, and the camera would pick it up and send it to the director. I mean, pretty ordinary, wasn't it?
Yeah,
but they were the days.
Absolutely. I was thinking, talking technology, Shane, technology today, I know obviously it's very different, but it enables you to put entire shows together very, very quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, what we used to do, you'd spend a week or two getting one show to go. We did one for the Brisbane Expo in 1987-88, and that was several weeks getting that, several reel-to-reel tapes and bits and pieces, and you had to pre-do a lot of that before it actually went. Then you'd do the actual commentary on the day. But all the production that was going into it was several weeks' worth of work just to make it start. And then when it was going live, well, it was a little bit different, but you didn't always get a good line, like today. You can't always get that good line. As a net result, nowadays it's much more immediate. What we're doing now, even now, will be put on in a couple of days or a day. It'll be all edited, ready to go, and it'll be on the website for everybody to listen to enjoy. So the time factor has definitely gone down. Can it go down any further? Who knows?
Well, I've seen you edit 2-3 minute interviews in what seems like 15, 20 seconds just by clicking through.
Yeah.
It's remarkable, isn't it?
And this will be no different. This will probably take me about 10 minutes to probably edit all this up to what I want, to what I think will be. Because being a radio announcer, editing, you have to know what is going to sound well at the end of the day. If the gap is too big, you're going to notice it. And if it's too short, well, you need to make it longer. We can do that. We can go longer or shorter.
You can tidy it up.
Yeah, tidy it up. So, you know, it's a perfect medium for me. And, yeah, I've noticed a huge difference in how it used to be, how we used to edit, and the time taken to now. It's a big difference. But where do we go from here?
Well,
one only we can wonder.
Excellent segue, because the 101.5 format, it's still got great classic music all the time, but we are introducing more audio casts and podcasts. And there will be, you know, we will have a growing diverse collection of podcasts available for listeners on 101.5. Shane, this is something that is taking over the world, really. Everyone is diving in on this. What's the benefit of a podcast?
Well, the thing is, you can listen to it anytime you like, whether it's 3 a.m. or 3 p.m, or right after breakfast in the morning. You want to listen to a podcast, you just go to your, wherever you get all your podcasts, and in our case, on a website, very convenient one place to go to. And you pick up on, you can actually do a search for a particular topic, and you'll find a variety of things pop up. From that regard, it makes it very easy to get a hold of it. And as we go through time, you'll have then several years worth of stuff that we'll be able to do. Back when this website that we have now currently started about 14 years ago, 2014, 2013, something like that, we didn't do as many podcasts. We had many news stories and stuff like that. We had stuff that you could just read. The podcast didn't really start until about maybe towards 2016 or something like that, which is about 10 years ago. Well, you can search on our things all the way through whenever the first spoken word thing, which whatever it is, and I'll do a look for it later. And it'd be interesting to see where we did start and how we started. But the searchability is able to look through all the stuff. You can probably even type in a date if you know a date that you know the first podcast was on. And you can go back and you can actually figure out what came after it and go forth to where we are today. And it's a lot of podcasts. I'm going to have a look, because you've asked a pretty important question. How long have we been doing it for? Well, about 2016. So you go back about 10 years. It's a long time.
It's a library, isn't it? It's an archive, which
is an archive.
Yeah, everyone can use, and it can be used from people within the station as well. I had a chance, Rob, to go into more depth on certain subjects or reminisce to greater detail rather than a narrow opportunity for between records.
Well, what do you mean, back in the radio?
Well, no, from now with the podcasts, we can actually talk for longer on a single subject. Without worrying about the sponsorships that have to go in and breaking up with the music.
Yeah, well, this is the first experience I've had with the podcast, and I find it different.
But you are enjoying it, you see, and I can tell.
And
most people do. Most people do really love talking. Once they get the handle of what it is you're doing and how you're doing it and how you're interacting with other people, it becomes an easy thing.
It's different.
Yeah, it is different. But it's a bit like we're talking without the microphones around us, and we're just talking. The only difference is we've got microphones that are picking up the sound, and we're recording it. That's the only difference. Other than that, we're just simply talking, which is what a podcast is all about.
Conversation, isn't
it? Conversations. Exactly.
Well, obviously, 1015 would always wants people to send us in their stories and to contact us. Mm. And you can do that through the contact page on the website, Shane, yeah?
Yes. On the website, there's a contact page, and you can go up the very top, and there's a, I think it says contact is the word it says. So you click on that, and it'll take you to a page where you can fill out some details about whatever it is you want to talk about, whether you're promoting some event that's coming up or that you want to become part of the what we do on the radio. Whatever it is, you fill in your respective parts, and it'll fill it out into a message that goes into an email to our main email account, which is what the station relies on to pick up all the messages that people send in. And then occasionally some of those get filtered to me where I have to then promote an event, which is somewhere. So thank you to all those people who send out stuff now. But keep doing it. Keep doing it. Contact page is always the best way to go.
Do you know?
It's available on our website, 1015fm.com.au. Yes, Rob.
Do you know the number of people that are clicking on to the podcast site?
Well, it varies. We can look at it. We can view it. But then there's another number, how many are picking up through, say, Facebook or X or Discord or any of the other social media channels that are out there. And each one's going to have a different number. The actual website will have all the numbers. I can get that information. It's not hard.
No.
So if you want to listen live or listen to our selection of podcasts, which will grow, head to 1015fm.com.au, as Shane said, and enjoy the rest of World Radio Day.
Indeed. And this very podcast is going to be in the same place. And we'll be talking about Radio Day for 13th of February, 2026. That will be the podcast name. And, of course, that will be in there as well. So just head on over to the podcast section, 1015fm.com.au. Thank you very much, Nick.
Thank you, Shane. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Rob.
Thanks, Shane.
Thank you.